Blog Talk Radio. From Insanity to Sane Radio, featuring Ms. Barbara Archer, thank you for tuning in to another anointing broadcast where you will be inspired and God be exalted throughout the earth. We come live every Wednesday and Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Please send all inquiries at frominsanitytosane.com. The next voice you hear will be Ms. Barbara Archer.
Good evening. I'm your host, Barbara Archer. I come to you this evening from Insanity to Sane, but this platform, as you all know, is dedicated to you women, and it is called Real Women, Real Talk. Thank you very much for tuning in to another broadcast. I'm very excited about this opportunity that I have an amazing guest in the studio this evening. You're going to love her. Her book is amazing, and I just can't wait to get into it. I was hoping everything was going to go good for me this evening because here in Atlanta, we've been hit with a little bit of some freezing rain and some snow, which is kind of unusual for us. Really wasn't for sure if the show was actually going to go live because I wasn't for sure if I was going to still have power, but I do have power. I do have my internet, so we're here this evening. But before we get started, as usual, I'm just going to say a few words of prayer. I always like to pray a blessing over everyone that is tuning in this evening. And God, I just pray you watch over every person. I pray you bless every person, bless their homes, bless their families. And Father, whatever needs that may be represented, I pray that you will supply their needs. And I pray for all those that are traveling, that are dealing with some weather, wherever they may be at in different parts of the world. And we just pray that you keep them safe and keep them home and help the people as they clear the highways and the roads, that you would just help us to stay off of the roads so that they can do the work that they need to get done. And Father, we just thank you for this time, and I pray your blessing over my guests this evening. And we just thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this evening I have the privilege of having Miss Karen Hart into the studio this evening. I'm very excited. She written this book, inspiring book. When I got my hands on the book, I could not put it down. And it's called How to Transform Your Love Life. Now, that's something that all of us women, we can relate to. So, Karen, thank you so much for joining me this evening on the platform, and I just want you to say a few words before we get into your interview.
Sure. Oh, first of all, a small correction. I'm Karen Berg, and the book is Your Self-Sabotage Survival Guide, How to Go from Why Me to Why Not. And it's all about reinventing your life from what you consider something that is not very productive or emotionally profitable to something that you will be able to enjoy and then transform other people's lives.
I just want to say, Karen, I am so deeply sorry. Once again, I have another interview at 7, and I have that person's platform right in front of me as well, because as soon as I get off the air from you, I have to get right into my next interview, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. All right, I could head a V8. Okay, so you know what? We just got to start all over again, and
okay.
I do apologize. But tell us a little bit about your book so that people will get a sense, because what happened is that I read a portion of this book. Okay. I did get the books confused because, like I said, I have the two interviews back to back, so I did get the books confused. I did receive your book in the mail several weeks back prior to this interview. I was able to get into maybe half of the book. But tell us exactly, how did you birth this book? How did this book come about to you? Because I, from my experience, a lot of things are birthed through a difficult time or something that has transpired in our lives, and from it we birthed something great. So tell us about that.
Okay, sure. For the last 30 years, I've been a communication coach and a motivational speaker, and I've watched people, brilliant people, scientists, researchers, major officers of major companies, prepare for a critical event, and it could be for in front of investors, or it could be in front of their own employees, and they have everything going for them, and then the moment arrives and they crash and burn, and I've been mystified by that. And that's half of my life. The other half of my life is I'm a singer and an actor. So I've been performing most of the time at Lincoln Center in New York City, and the people that I've been performing with are brilliant, talented, and some of them, not all of them, but some of them were so caught up in the demons of their past or the voices they heard in their head from parents or teachers saying, well, you're not talented, you can't do that, my goodness, you're stupid, and they crash and burn. And I thought, you know, this it's just so sad. And so what happens with people is that they can't seem to move forward, and they get paralyzed in a spot in their life. So with the book, because women at every age, but usually from 40s onward, we need to reinvent ourselves. If the children have grown,
right.
we're empty nesters, or maybe we have been working and we've been downsized. It seems to be an epidemic in this country. And what are we going to do? You can't check out. You have to continue on. But I want people to continue on with a thirst for life and for living, as opposed to what somebody told me the other day when I saw him in the elevator. I said, how are you doing? And he said, oh, I'm pushing through. And I thought, gosh, that's so sad. That's so sad. Now look around you and see what's good about your life. So this is how it happened, and I decided that I would write it's a guidebook, and it's so basic in parts because when people are paralyzed, where do you start? Well, I tell them, start with a deep belly breath. It's sort of like having an exercise where you breathe in 3 or 4 times and hold your breath and let it release slowly. And so you, because an anxious person is a self-sabotaging person. So if you're going to break the cycle of self-sabotage, you need to be in a place of calm. I suggest that people take a journal, and people roll their eyes when I say that, but you will love a year from now looking back at how far you have come, and to write down what's working for your life, what's not working for your life, and then say, okay, in all these areas of my life, work, family, community, church, are there any themes that go through it? And an example I use in the book is about somebody who, in every area of her life, people yell at her. And so following the example through, I say, you know, what could you yourself be bringing to that? And so that takes it in little baby steps forward. And even if people don't even know if they're self-sabotaging, I give them a 10-point reality check where I ask them questions. Something as basic as how many items are on your to-do list? Because I don't know if you've seen people's to-do list, but sometimes I've seen people with pages. And how are you possibly going to get through that in one day? So if you have more than 10 items on your to-do list, then you're self-sabotaging. And, you know, when someone confronts you, where's your place of safety? Is it to withdraw, as what happens to me, or is it to become a bully? And either way, you're self-sabotaging. So they go through this checklist at the very beginning of the book, and then little by little by little, they can go through the book and figure out what's going to be useful for them down the road. But the most exciting part of the book, frankly, are the interviews. I have 50 people I interviewed. Half of them are from show business. Half of them are from the corporate sector, and each industry informs the other. And I find that so fascinating. So I have people with reinvention stories. For one example, a singer, his name is Kevin B. McGlynn, and he travels all over the world performing in major shows. When he was growing up, his mother said, "Kevin, if you don't stop singing, I'm going to turn off the radio." And so Kevin grew up thinking he had a terrible voice. He became a banker, and he hated banking. And one day he was walking down the hall at the bank, and someone said, he was humming because he loved to sing, and they said, "Oh, my goodness, you have a beautiful voice." And Kevin almost fainted. It inspired him, though, and this is a trick. This is a tip, actually. He lived in Boston. He, on a whim, went to Boston Conservatory and auditioned, and he got in. And 30 years later, no more a banker. He has a life, and he is a fantastic singer, performer, director, artist. So he just, all you have to do is take that step. So when we listen to the voices in our head saying, "Boy, you're stupid, oh, you're ugly, oh, you're too short, oh, you're too fat, oh, you're too tall," what is that doing for you? What is it doing for you? So a lot of this book is to really stop those noises and to stay present. And for the rest of my life, I'm on a mission to help people to stay in the moment, stay in the moment. And there are various interviews in the book about people, you know, even as they walk down the street, they say, "Look at the cracks in the sidewalk. Isn't that interesting? What a picture that makes," to be in the moment. And when you find your mind drifting to the future or to the past, both are enemies. Both are enemies. Sure, you have to plan ahead, but you can't live for the future. And in fact, on that point, I believe strongly in having goals, but you have to have the goal beyond the goal. And I think one reason there's an epidemic of obesity in this country, and I have ridiculously a difficult weight problem myself, but my goal was, you know, lose 30 pounds. You lose 30 pounds, you've met your goal. Well, not really. Now you've got to, what's the then after the when, you see? You meet that goal, and you have to have something beyond that. And I'll give you a dramatic example of this. I mean, it's so ridiculously dramatic, but it's true. There was a man, he was a reporter, journalist. His goal, his whole life, was to win the Pulitzer. And you know what he did?
Okay.
2 years later, he committed suicide because he did not have the goal beyond the goal. He had met his goal, and he gave up. So it is having a goal, then having what's beyond that is my mission to help people, either in person, in seminars, through books. And it seems to work if they will just go along for the ride.
Okay. All right. So you speak about, you know, people being paralyzed and not really taking those steps to get from where they at to where they really want to be at. So now you help them to deal with why they are that way. Because so often it's like people don't have the tools to actually figure out why they are the way that they are, because something else is going on inside their mind, their soul, and their body. You know, so do you do a little bit of transformation to help them to see what the real issue is?
Very practical. I'm not a physician. I'm not a psychiatrist, although I have helped psychiatrists reinvent themselves. But it's mostly very practical, so practical that I recommend to people that they have a network of helpers, not necessarily spouses or siblings, because they may be useful, they may not be useful in this journey.
Okay.
I call them spark buddies because they kind of spark your motivation and they spark your inspiration. And spark is an acronym. It stands for something. But mostly the spark buddy is the person who holds the map while you're driving. And they ask the questions, and I show in the book how to ask questions so you don't feel like you're being pressed or punished when someone says, "Well, did you go to that workshop?" You know, instead of saying that, because then it's punitive, because if you didn't go, you feel so bad. rather ask, you know, what did you find at that seminar, and then allow them to say, well, I didn't have the nerve to go, and then to say, well, I'll go with you. But to have a network of people who can help you find your way in every area of your life, from everything from image, and I really take it from tip to toe, from your image, meaning your social media image, or your personal image, meaning looks,
okay,
and attitude, clothing. And you would be surprised. Maybe you probably wouldn't be surprised, but many people, if they did nothing but fix their posture, think about it. You watch people walk down the street or at malls shopping,
right,
and they're slouched over enough. They have an impairment, that's one thing. But if they don't, they've let the world sink down on their shoulders and push them into the ground. But it's simple things. Simple things like that can start making you feel better. You can't have a magic wand that's waved over your head and said, oh, now you're successful. It doesn't work like that. But you can,
right,
find increments. And that's what the book is about, and that's what my teaching is about when I'm working with people.
Okay, so you give step-by-step a roadmap to help
people have that
positive attitude. Right.
You have to, because when people are feeling depressed and someone says, well, don't be depressed. Oh, gee, why didn't I think of that? Well, of course,
right,
you know, it's easy to say that. But how do you get,
right,
beyond that? And, you know, this journey could be in collaboration with a therapist. I mean, I'm not a therapist. I'm a coach. But everything I do is very practical. And I just ask the questions. And the same questions are in the book. You know, what do you want out of your,
right,
life? If they've been laid off and they feel marginalized. And this is a funny story about feeling marginalized. Now, I'm a baby boomer.
Okay.
I've got, sitting at my home office, I have a young man, he's 30. Sitting next to him is my assistant, who is 19. And I was saying, well, you know, people have my age have to be kind of, we were feeling sort of marginalized by society and the workforce. And Jeremy, who's 30, said, I'm 30, I feel marginalized. And Michelle, 19, saying, my generation feels marginalized. I'm saying,
right,
oh, my God. It's happening to all of us. So we can't use that as an excuse. We have to break through that noise and to find our own kind of renew our mojo. And whatever that is, I kind of go through a list of questions of the things that they enjoy. What can you be useful at your age? What kind of disposable income do you have to take classes? And then the book is full of tough love, I have to say, because I'm intolerant,
okay,
of people saying I can't afford to go to college. And if you just go online, there are so many free classes. And if you,
right,
so many people I've worked with in companies say, well, my manager won't let me take that class. Really? Take it on your own. And there are, in some companies, managers are going to hold you back, and that's a big concern. Because you're useful to that manager. Well,
right,
through talking to other people, you can work around that system and get those promotions, or you may have to leave that company. I know many people who have been held back, and they have said, you know, I can't. They give warnings. I've been in this company 10 years, and if I don't get to move and grow, then I have to leave, and, you know.
Right.
So sometimes you have bad managers in companies. Sometimes you have people who are not in your court. But the book is aimed at those people who kind of feel alone and need someone to hold their hand. And I hope that on some level I am.
Okay. Now, I just want to piggyback for a moment, Karen.
Okay.
Now, you mentioned something that really just triggered it. When you ask, like in your book, one of the questions is, what do you want out of your life?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we hear that question, to some people, that may be a very simple question. But you know how many people struggle with answering that elementary question? Because to me, it's a very simple question. And I know years ago, I was the exact same way when I came to a crossroad in my life in my 40s. someone asked me that question, Barbara, what do you want to do with your life? And I had, I could not put it into two sentences. So explain to us how a person can be able to figure out what do they really want to do with their life? Because some people have so many thoughts that bombard their minds all day long, and they can't put it in sentences.
I break it down into what do you like to do, and they have to, you know, again, you have to kind of find your place of calm, but it's a brainstorming. What do you like to do? Even if it's something like, you know, I like to knit, or I like to shop. I like to take walks. Do you know how many professions there are from all those areas, from knitting to, you know, there's a number of websites online that you could place your things that you've made and sell them. So this country, the United States, is now becoming the country of professional services. And the entrepreneurial spirit has never been greater. It's a gold mine of opportunity. You need somebody who can kind of help guide you. And that's why I suggest, you know, reaching out to people. They don't necessarily have to be your friends. If you, let's say you work at a company and you see somebody who's very skilled at technology, say, and you feel in order to move forward in whatever area, that little things that you like, if you like to cook or whatever it is, everybody likes to do something, not what you want to be, what you like to do. And to approach a person and say, can I just ask you to help me with? And most everybody is going to be generous with their time as long as you are not competing with that person for a job or for a boyfriend or a girlfriend. You know, as long as there's nothing competitive going on, people are very generous. So you have to be a little savvy about the person you ask. People love to share their knowledge. So it is not what you want to be when you grow up. It's what do you like to do? And I have never, in 30 years of doing this, have ever found anybody who says, I don't like to do anything. Have you?
Yes.
No, everybody likes to do
something. No, I haven't met anyone. Right. Yeah.
Everybody likes to do something. And now we have to turn that what you like to do into something that could be fulfilling, either in a volunteer capacity. There is nothing more fulfilling than giving of your time and your soul and your energy. Now you have to make a living, too, so it can't be the only thing you do. But it's certainly it's so enriching to your soul. So that's part of it. That's one of the early steps to start thinking about what your future is going to be. And I would love to hear from people the things that they'd like to do, and I can kind of guide them a little bit long distance. But if they just would put down a list, they're going to figure this out on their own. In a random, free-associating, brainstorming way, and it doesn't have to be completed in 5 minutes. It's not a test. But maybe over a period of weeks, and I do believe people should start a journal so they could list all these things in a journal. When I went back, you know, I first started out in life wanting to be in musical theater. Well, moving from Denver to New York, I learned quickly that I did work in the theater professionally, made a while ago $5 an hour, and quickly learned that I needed to survive on more money than that. So that's how I ended up going into journalism and public relations and becoming a motivational speaker and a coach. But 10 years ago, I went back to music, and I have become, because of what I have learned in these 10 years, I've become a far better coach because of that new area of my life that has been reborn. And I have never been happier. So it is just taking a baby step forward and know and having somebody there to kind of hold your hand. And everyone has a friend. And if they don't have a friend, get in touch with me. I'll be your friend. But everybody has a friend that is eager to help them. The biggest enemies in reinvention is procrastination, avoidance and denial, and past that is complacency. And I sound so severe when I say, get going. Life is fragile and finite, and we are on this earth for a very short time.
Yes,
and even if you are, I have people in my life who are caregivers 24/7, and I beg them, you have to have one day off. And there are services in every community that can help you. A friend who could come by and watch your elderly spouse or your parent for a few hours, but a caregiver is going to end up in the same situation as the invalid if they don't have time off. So if at the very least, people have to be able to do that.
Right. That is so important, is that time of rest. But we are almost out of time. We're down to under 3 minutes.
Okay.
What advice could you give someone that is listening this evening that not sure the direction that they need to go? They do have something that they like to do, but they don't know how to execute it. Because sometimes we may have the thought and the idea, but we don't know how to execute it. How can we execute a plan once we get that thought?
If whatever they like to do, assuming that it's healthy and honest, there's so many resources online, and if they are not computer savvy, any public library will help you start to research that. Yes, it does take some effort. Again, there's no magic wand, but there's with the internet now, it's literally at your fingertips. Next to that, if they are active in a church, ask the deacons, the priests, the pastor, the rabbi for advice. They're pretty savvy in what's happening in their own community. Next to that is, again, I keep going to friends, but and even associations. Every community has either if they're elderly, senior citizens, for whether their church or their temple, and just start asking questions. People, once you start asking the question and start that in baby steps, because I'm not one that's easily asks people questions, and I have to find a very friendly face. That's why I believe going to the through the internet first to find out some resources, and then finding that person in the church, in the school system, in a community association that you can ask the question. Say, I like whatever, cooking, knitting, whatever, and I might want to turn this into a business. Where can you point me to? And again, unless you're competing with them for revenue or love, they're going to help you. I can't imagine that they wouldn't. And living in a a robust, people think unfriendly city like New York City, I think it happens to be rather friendly. But even in New York City, people are extremely helpful to even a stranger on a street. I mean, I go to the gym every day, and I go over to someone and says, how do you do that exercise? And they're willing to help you.
Right.
It makes them feel powerful. Let others feel powerful.
Oh. Right. All right. Well, tell us where we can find your book, and if you have a website, if you can let us know so that we can follow you as well.
Oh, that's so sweet. Again, the book is Your Self-Sabotage Survival Guide. It's a long title. And it's published through Career Press. You can find it on all the websites, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's in brick-and-mortar stores as well. You can get it through Career Press. My website is comcorestrategies.com. I'm going to spell it C-O-M-M-C-O-R-E, strategies, S-T-R-A-D-E-G-I-E-S.com. And my name is Karen Berg. I'm not the Karen Berg that writes on Kabbalah. I'm the Karen Berg. There are two Karen Bergs out there, and she's a very prolific writer, this other one. But I'm the Karen Berg who writes on communication and motivation.
Okay, Karen. Well, you know what? It has been a pleasure having you on the studio this evening, and I appreciate you coming by to educate us. So you've heard it here from Real Women, Real Talk. I will be back next Wednesday, same time, same station. And I also have a special show this evening, and I have another special show tomorrow evening you do not want to miss, so stay tuned. God bless you all. We love you, and we'll see you next week. Goodbye. And Karen, I'm going to follow up with you after this
Thank
call.
You.
Do I need to reach out to your publicist?
No, you can call me directly. You want my phone number?
Okay.
911?
Yes, well, we're... Okay, just let me write it. Let me just do it right here. Okay, I'm ready, Karen.
It's 914-393-0002. And the easier email is Karen Arlington, as in the state of Virginia, at gmail.com. Karen Arlington is my stage name.
Okay. All right, Karen, what I'm going to do, I'm going to send you an email so that you have my email as well, and we can set up something probably next week so we can talk about the conference.
Excellent. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and I look forward to meeting
you. All
right,
it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for understanding the mix-up, and I'm going to send out that email after my last interview tonight, and
okay,
then you can let me know what your availability is, and we can set something up next week.
Sounds great. Take care now.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Karen. You have a wonderful evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.